Well, this is our last study in the book of Jonah. For those of you that haven't been with us, we have had actually 10 sermons, 10 messages on Jonah. And you may ask, what next? Well, I'm not quite sure, but I'm thinking about 1 John, so we'll see next time where we'll go. I make no promises, but I think that's what we'll do. Now, what's the book of Jonah all about? Many people would say it's about repentance. I remember attending a presbytery meeting, which is a regional church meeting, and they were examining a candidate for the ministry, and he was speaking about the book of Jonah, and they said, well, what would you say was the theme of the book of Jonah? And he said, repentance. And it's true that there was repentance of a kind on the part of Jonah. And then there was a great repentance in the city of Nineveh, so much that the Lord withheld the judgment that was portending for that city. And it's not wrong to say that there is a strong theme of repentance in Jonah. But I think the main theme of Jonah is God's compassion. The compassion of the Lord, and how Jonah just could not get his mind wrapped around the idea that God was compassionate. He thought God should be angry with Nineveh and destroy it, and he waited right up until the very last moment to see if God might not actually bring some sort of destruction upon Nineveh. Now, you would think that at the end of the Jonah narrative, the outcome would be similar to that of the book of Job. Job had been argumentative as to whether God was just to inflict painful trials on him, but at last he repented of his discontent and self-righteousness and humbled himself before the Lord. Jonah, on the other hand, leaves the story still angry and grumbling. He doesn't humble himself before the Lord. Now, though the book could end there, in some ways it does end there, nevertheless, God has the last word. He has every reason, does God, to be angry and vengeful, but instead, he shows himself as compassionate and merciful. So we're going to examine this ending today. And my main points are these. First of all, hard hearts yield slowly. Secondly, if we find compassion, and I'm talking about finding it in ourselves or in human beings, it's likely to be misplaced compassion. And finally, God's compassion is infinite and full of His love. Such a contrast to any sort of compassion you find in anyone less than God. But such wonderful truth and such a thing for us to hold on to as we close out the study. Then God said to Jonah, "Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?" Oh, what plant? We're not talking about a manufacturing plant, but a vegetable sort of a thing. And what had happened was, of course, that God had caused a plant to grow up so that Jonah was shaded from a very burning and discomforting sun. Now, what's interesting is that Jonah had built a shelter for himself, but evidently it wasn't working out for him. But then, I guess, next to this place that he had built, he was watching for the destruction of Nineveh. In any event, God raised up this plant, shaded him, and he loved it. He was actually in love with the plant, almost, because of the relief that it gave him from the harsh wind and the sun that was troubling him there. And then, it says, God sent a worm. And the worm, in one night, so damaged the plant that by the next morning, there was no plant anymore, at least not any that would give him shade. And so he became very angry about that. And he said, "I have good reason to be angry, even unto death." Now you see, Jonah was not only angry about losing the plant. I think all of us have had some rage about something that's happened to us. We hit our thumb with the hammer, or something that we're working on doesn't fit, and we keep trying and it still doesn't fit, and we just get as angry as we can be because it doesn't work. And so we might say, well, Jonah was angry like that. And that's true to some extent. But Jonah also was angry with God, because God did not work like Jonah wanted him to work. In fact, God's process, God's direction was so abominable to Job that at first he tried to run away all the way to Tarshish or Spain, far into the Mediterranean Sea. And when God brought him back by the instrumentality of the storm and the fish, well, he still was angry with God for wanting to spare Nineveh. He didn't think Nineveh deserved God's mercies. So he's not only angry about the plant, the death of the plant, but he was angry with God for letting it happen and for all the other things that God was letting happen and actually directing. So he had a very hard heart, you see. If that heart could not be softened by the experience of the storm and the large fish, if it could not be softened by seeing these people who were destined for destruction turning to the Lord and changing their ways, it was indeed a very hard heart. When it came to the heathen, Jonah was hard-hearted, which meant he thought that just being an Israelite meant that he deserved certain things. And immediately we begin to see a parallel between this plant and Israel, that the fact that God had raised up the nation Israel was a great blessing, and God had raised up this plant and it was a great blessing. And now it looked like that God was going to discount Israel like he was discounting the plant and letting it die. And the heart was not yielding to these ideas. There was none of what we mentioned in our opening about Job. There was none of that, "Now I repent in sackcloth and ashes. I'm so sorry that I've had this attitude." But rather, "You're not going to change my mind, God." Now, did he ever soften? Well, who knows? All I can say is that hard hearts yield slowly. Those of us with hard hearts usually seek justification for this attitude, and you see it in what Jonah responds to the Lord with. The Lord said, "Do you really think that you should be angry about this?" And Jonah said, "You're right, I should be. I should be angry about this. I should never let go of how I feel. I am justified," he said, "in the way that I feel and the attitude that I have. And I can't understand, God, why you don't see that I'm justified in this way." Those with hard hearts seek justification for their attitude. Those who are bitter, and believe me, Jonah was bitter. Job was bitter, but he repented of that. But Jonah is bitter. And those who are bitter tend to be hard-hearted. And I would just warn you today, if you have bitterness in your heart about anything, it's not going to lead you where you hope it will. It's not going to make you feel better or to make things right. If you're bitter, then your heart is going to grow harder. In the book of Hebrews, the writer there warns those who are receiving his letter that they should not be like those who had a bitter root in their hearts, like Esau, for example, or others who let bitterness take over their lives. Another thing is that those with hard hearts minimize fellowship with God. Do you think that Jonah was drawing nearer to God by this ongoing argument that he was having, these feelings that he was expressing? And the answer is no. But God kept trying to say, Jonah, you need to get your mind right. You need to come and join with me in what I'm doing and be in fellowship with me. And Jonah just folds his arms and says, no way. I don't intend to do that. And the result was that at least as the book closes, he's not really close to God. He is the prophet of the Lord. We can't say he was unsaved or that he had no hopes of heaven. But we can say that he was not close to God. And believe me, friends, in this life, it won't happen in the life to come, but in this life, if you're bitter and resistant and angry, then you're never going to be close with God. So I think the first thing for us to remember when we consider this point of hard hearts yielding slowly is that we should guard our passions, our presuppositions, those things that are hard to let go of, but guard ourselves and rather seek to blend ourselves with God's own enthusiasm. What is God enthusiastic about? What does He feel strongly about? Jonah said, I feel strongly that you're doing the wrong thing. And the Lord, in effect, says, Jonah, you need to feel strongly that I'm right and that there are changes that need to take place in your life if you're going to have a relationship with me. Dear friends, that's something for every one of us to consider and think about today. Is my heart hard? Am I resistant to what God is doing? Have I really considered all that has been revealed to me in His Word about His overall purpose to save a lost world? And if I'm not going along with that as I should, then I need to repent as Job did in sackcloth and ashes. Hard hearts yield slowly. Don't let yours be one of those slow healing, slow yielding hearts. Okay, secondly, if we find compassion in ourselves particularly, but if we find compassion, it's likely to be misplaced. Why would it be misplaced? Because usually we put it in the wrong thing. Or at least we put it on something that's irrelevant to the main issue. Now God says, interestingly, that Jonah has compassion. At least he calls it that. And it's hard to identify any compassion in Jonah's rant about the plant, which is more like self-pity than anything else. But it's hard to identify. If God says He has compassion, what does He mean? Well, there are a couple words in Hebrew that have to do with compassion. The one that often is a part of the description of God's own compassionate ways is the word rahem. And it simply says that God is compassionate, that He's merciful. The other word, and it's the word that's used here in Jonah, is the word chus. And it means to care about the sad destiny of something. To care deeply what happens to something that's in trouble. Now, what was in trouble, as presented just in the few verses that we looked at today? It was the plant. Yeah, Nineveh's over here, but they've been delivered. They're rejoicing. I don't know if they were dancing in the streets, but they might well be. But what's the sad destiny that is looked at here? Well, it's the plant. not even a living creature. I know people talk to their plants and sing to them and all that, but let's face it, the plants really are not creatures, rational creatures, living creatures, even anything animate, we would say. And Jonah, and this is where God's discovery of His compassion is, He said it's hard to find it. But He had compassion for the plants. Jonah expressed his deepest sorrow, using that word again, compassionate, caring deeply about something that's in bad shape. Jonah expressed sorrow for the shady plant that suddenly died. Now you see the misplacement there? Compassion is one thing. Feeling for the need of something or someone that's about to perish, that's the compassionate part of it. But if you put it on a plant, and this is about as absurd as you can think, but this is God's teaching method here. Jonah, you have this compassion, you're raging, you say you would rather die, even unto death, you said, about a plant. When here is a city that was about to be destroyed. Those with the inability to check their left hand against their right hand, it probably means the children of the city. But even if it just means adults who can't figure things out, God is saying that compared to the plant, how can you even make that distinction? How can you get worked up over a plant? Your compassion, I discovered that you're capable of compassion, but it's misplaced. So God admonishes him. And well, He should. And He admonishes us too. Because such compassion as we have is often misplaced. Because we put feelings for things and for the circumstances of our own lives ahead of people who are perishing. Do you really care that there are people in the world who will have to stand before God in judgment because of their rebellion, because of their selfishness, because they're full of sin? Do you care about that? And can you see that were it not for the grace of God, there would you be also under that judgment? And should you not have compassion for those who are perishing? I remember there's an old hymn that we used to sing, "Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying." Something about snatch them in sorrow from sin and the grave. That's not a bad hymn, really. Rescue the perishing. That's what compassion, in terms of what God means, is. Now, there are degrees. You may see a poor suffering someone and have compassion upon them, give them some money, give them some medicine, whatever. That's fine. But the great need of people is to be saved from the consequences of their sins. That's where your compassion needs to start. That's where it needs to be placed. And then all these other things can be dealt with. The plant, God says, was a kindness bestowed upon Jonah without regard to any merit that he had. He didn't say, "Jonah, you've worked very hard, and I'm going to give you a piece of shade here. This little shelter that you built is so inadequate, let me give you some real shade." Well, God showed him compassion in that sense. And yet Jonah, you see, is not interested in the kindness of God, the mercy of God. All he wants to do is be compassionate about what's good for him. And then he demands that God give him his right. He thinks, "I have a right to this shade. I have a right to be blessed as I am." God says, "You don't have any such right. If it weren't for my kindness, there would be no compassion, no place for that in your life. Now I've given you the opportunity to show compassion, to care about the dying, to rescue those who are in deep trouble. And you have no interest in that at all. You mechanically did it. I took it and worked in the lives of these people. It probably astonished you, Jonah, that they would repent. You were so indifferent to the word that you sent forth. But I saved them. And I gave you the plant for the same reasons, that is, because I'm compassionate and merciful. Where are you going to put your compassion, Jonah? There's not much there and it's well misplaced. But don't you think you should take it and put it where I have put my compassion? Those who share in the mercy of God should be passionate to share that compassion, not with plants, not with inanimate things, not with human institutions, but share it with people who are dying. Now God says, I've expressed my compassion in Christ. Go and tell them of Christ and make sure you yourself are rightly related to me. And again, you see the contrast between Job and Jonah. That Job gave evidence of receiving God's grace with gladness. And Jonah, at least as far as our narrative goes, never even gave any indication at all. Well, thirdly, God's compassion is infinite and full of love. Whatever compassion may be discovered in us, it's not infinite and it's flawed. It can still be blessed of God and it can still be in the right place. There's no compassion like God's compassion. And if He works that compassion through you and through me, so much the better. The last question, God's question, asks if Jonah really understands the character of God. God says, should I not also have compassion on Nineveh? Should I not? That's the question. Should I not? If you understand the character of God, that He's infinitely merciful, infinitely patient, infinitely willing, infinitely involved, you really don't know the character of God. Jonah obviously didn't. But before we condemn him, let's ask ourselves, do we really understand this infinite, long-lasting, perfectly wonderful compassion? And do we understand that it's full of love? There is no real compassion without that core element of love with it. Obviously, Jonah's ability to be compassionate was severely limited. We would say about as limited as you can imagine. But God's compassion is beyond our understanding, above all that we could ask or think. Obviously, Jonah is a long way from God. Could Jonah ever be God? Of course not. Can you and I ever be God? Could Job be God? No. But we can be drawn into God's compassion and made instruments of that compassion. There's not a huge difference between the Bible verse that says God is love and other verses that say, not exactly in that syntax, but that say God is compassionate. If you say God is love, you're really saying God is compassionate. That He cares about the dying, those who are coming to a sad end. God, as we see from this book, yes, He pities those innocent children that can't tell their right hand from their left hand. But He pities all the people. Those who have misjudged Him. Those who have failed to come to Him. Those who continue in their rebelliousness against Him. He even cares about their economic situation. You say, where's that in here? Because He says He cares for the livestock. There's a passage in Scripture that says, you're more valuable than sparrows. You're of more importance than donkeys and other animals. But the main thing to see there is that what's going to happen to Nineveh is it's going to be so destroyed there won't be any economy left. There won't be any city left. It'll be so ultimately obliterated that you can't even find it hardly on the map, and that's true today. You can go over there to Iraq, and you can find the ruins of Nineveh, some of them in Syria perhaps, but you can find those ruins, but it's been obliterated. It's just not there anymore. If God, in His purpose, in His plan, allows His wrath to fall upon anybody and anything, it's going to be totally wiped out. And the Lord is saying to Jonah, just think about that, Jonah. It will be just. I can never be accused of doing anything wrong, but neither can I be accused of not being compassionate and full of love. I offer to all those who are sinful, repent. And in the light of the Word of God through the New Testament, repent and find in the Lord Jesus Christ the forgiveness of your sins and everlasting life. John 3:16 expresses what? God's compassionate love. He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in Jesus Himself, we can see this love time and time again in the people that He met. The woman taken in adultery, or others who were very rebellious against Him. And He called them to turn from their sins and be saved through Him. When He met the rich young ruler who said, "I've done all these things, I'm a righteous man, am I not?" And Scripture says Jesus loved him. Jesus beheld him and He loved him. There's a compassion. God is love. God is compassionate. So what is the book of Jonah really all about? The book of Jonah is about God's compassion as well as the repentance of those who believe God. May we take this to heart today for ourselves and for the world around us. Let us pray. Father, this is a sobering thought. These descriptions of Job and his attitude and God's attitude, they certainly make us think. Please work in our hearts to this point. Help us to care about the perishing. Help us to care about those who need Christ. Help us to care about those who are suffering in other ways in the world. Fill us with Your own infinite and wonderful compassion, full of Your own love and mercy. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.